Tech Talk on RNIB Connect Radio.
Hello, hello, hello. A very warm welcome in to Tech Talk, your opportunity to connect with the world of technology from a blind and partially sighted perspective. Of course, Tech Talk, you can first hear us each Tuesday at 1 p.m. UK, right here on RNIB Connect Radio, or catch us again on a Thursday evening at 9, or if you prefer a podcast, grab that each Friday. Don't forget, of course, Tech Talk, it's your programme. We always love to hear from you, a voice note or a good old-fashioned email. Send that in to techtalk@rnib.org.uk. That's techtalk@rnib.org.uk. Coming up this week, I'll be travelling to Wolverhampton bus station. We'll be finding out about a trial of the NaviLens technology. You might have heard about that a couple of weeks ago here on the programme. We'll also be checking in with the RNIB Products for Life store and finding out about the new RNIB Accord USB player. And Steve Tyler will be back to reveal which of those voices we heard last week was real and which one was an AI clone. So stick around, it's another Tech Talk. Welcome in to Callum Stoneman is here as our co-host again this week, and special guest, welcome back, invited by special invitation, it's Hubert, everybody. Hello, Callum and Hubert, welcome in.
Hello, good to be back for another week.
Hello, I've been allowed back. It's a miracle.
Well, it's good to have you. Good to have you. So let's just go around the room and see what's on your technology radar this week. Callum Stoneman, what have you got? What have you been playing with this week?
Well, I want to give a mention to Soundscape, because we've covered this a few times. Probably one of my, I think it is actually one of my favourite navigation apps. And Microsoft have, of course, discontinued it and open sourced it. And at the end of June, Soundscape, if you've already got Soundscape, then at the end of June, it's going to stop working. But there's now a beta version on TestFlight, which is Apple's beta testing program, called OpenScape. So as far as I understand it, a group of developers have got together with the open source parts of Soundscape that Microsoft have given us, and they're trying to bring it back to life, which is really exciting. It's early days, yeah. I have played with the beta. There's still a few bugs with it. There's still a few things that need to be ironed out, because not everything has been open source. So we're having to, well, they're having to work around things a little bit. But it's getting there, and it's nice to see this coming back. I was really not looking forward to that going away.
That is exciting news. And I know, like all of these things, there's usually a queue out of the door, isn't there, when it comes to testing the beta. And I think all the kind of the beta slots were full at one point. So well done getting your hands on it, Callum, and let us know how that one develops.
I just happened to log on to Twitter at the right time, and someone had tweeted saying, if you go now, you might just get on. And that tweet was sent, I think, about 6 minutes ago from when I'd seen it. So I just jumped in there and amazingly managed to get on. Half an hour later, I've got reports that it was full again.
So Hubert, what have you been playing with this week?
For me, mainly, it's been audio recording equipment, you know, trying to upgrade my kind of personal studio as well. So looking at audio interfaces and external recorders, digital recorders and such. So yeah, that's kind of the fun of the radio work.
Indeed, yeah. And you got yourself a new Zoom recorder, I believe.
Yes, Zoom H1M, I believe it is. And yes, it's experimenting with that and various kind of bits of equipment you can attach to it as well, kind of when you do outdoors on location. So yes, it's experimenting with new devices, which as a techie, I mean, everyone loves getting a new device, a new toy. So
well, they do. And of course, the Zoom H1N, that's their kind of entry level recorder, right? Because we know there are more sophisticated devices out there that you can plug your XLR microphones into. Of course, 32-bit float, we're getting really geeky now, but the H1N is at a quite an affordable price point and just really convenient. It's just you pull it out, point and shoot.
It's very basic, and to be honest, sometimes that's all you really need to create a good piece of audio, because you can get these fancy recorders with, you know, four mics built into them for £400. But realistically, you don't always really need anything like that to make a good audio.
Brilliant. Well, Hubert, thanks for joining us. Look forward to hearing how you get on with your Zoom. And Callum Stoneman, do keep us posted about OpenScape and let us know what you've been playing with in the world of technology. TechTalk at rnib.org.uk is how you get in touch. Hubert, Callum, stick around. It's another Tech Talk. You may be aware that RNIB has a shop. In fact, it's a Products for Life store offering a wide range of aids and games and tools and aids. Isn't that what they used to say on those talking book introductions? Anyway, the Products for Life store has a range of products that enable blind and partially sighted people to become more independent at home, at school, and in the workplace. And new products are being added to the range all the time. So I thought we were long overdue a little bit of a check-in with our retail products team, and in particular, Claire Maxwell. Welcome to RNIB Connect Radio. Claire, how are you?
Very good. Thank you very much for inviting me back to talk to you about products.
Right, so we have picked three new products that have recently been added to the range. We've got one audio, one visual, and one tactile. So I think it's a good mix, something for everybody today.
Definitely something for everybody. I think I'm just going to dive in, Dave, with talking about the audio one, which you mentioned, which is the RNIB Accord. So it's a Bluetooth and USB speaker. And it will pair your USB memory sticks, but it also functions for those who are more techie and want to be able to play their audio from their phone or their tablet through a nice accessible speaker. So it does both. It's designed really for everyone and anyone. And by that, I actually mean anyone with any vision, low vision, no vision. So it's really modern, really stylish. Doesn't look out of place in your home, you know, anywhere you want to put it. And I expect it would get a few comments actually from people saying, wow, I really like that, because it's sort of black, it's circular in shape. So I think it's a shape that a lot of people are very familiar with many different smart speakers and various, you know, home devices on the market at the moment. So it's a similar shape, it's round. It has material speakers, so it is a one speaker device, but it has material on both sides. But it has a good quality speaker in it. And then it has all the controls are in white as well, so they really stand out nice and high contrast, and they're very tactile as well. So most of the controls are on the top of the device, and then you've got a really big plus and minus on the front. So it looks and feels really stylish. You can carry it anywhere as well, because it's got a really handy sort of lanyard attached to the top as well. So it wouldn't look out of place on the beach or in the garden or wherever you want to chill out and listen to your books or audio.
Yeah, and we should talk about that, because obviously smart speakers are capable of streaming audiobooks, and certainly on the Amazon Echo devices, you can access the RNIB reading services. But not everybody wants to do that, right? And not everybody wants to have that streaming over the air. And some of those devices are wired, so you can't really move them around very easily. And so the key thing, I think, with this player is the fact that it is portable, and it will play your USB memory stick. So if you receive talking books from RNIB on USB memory sticks, that's who this device is for, really.
Yeah, it is. It is primarily for playing your USB memory sticks. But as I said, it you know, just to be clear, it's not a smart speaker in the sense of it doesn't sort of access live sort of feed, you know, audiobooks, etc. What it can do is be connected to your phone or tablet. So if you want it just a little bit louder, if you're out in the garden having a barbecue, whatever, just think of scenarios that I would use it myself. And, you know, you want something to play your audio through, then that might be ideal for you as well. And the other thing about the player, so I should add, is as well as the tactile and sort of visual controls, it's also got audio feedback. So when you press a button, it will say power on or volume up, etc. So you know that you've definitely got the right function. And also on the player, we've incorporated, because this is an RNIB designed player, I should say, as well. And we decided to go down the route of adding a wireless charging pad. And there was a couple of reasons for that. I think a lot of people struggle to insert cables, and it can still be tricky sometimes for people if they have dexterity issues in their hands as well. So we decided to go down the route of a charging pad. You can simply take it on and off as you need as well.
Right. And does that charging pad come with the player then?
It comes with the player, so you get one in the box with your player, and you get two lengths of cable as well. So you have a 50cm and an 80cm cable, so you can actually charge it on a port on the top of the device or from the pad, and you've got different lengths of cable to suit you.
Brilliant. So we did promise something to listen to, something to look at, and something to feel. So let's move on to our visual product, the Explore 12.
The Explore 12. So, you know, it's a CCDV with a little bit of a difference. So it has a 12-inch screen. So it's a decent size. It's still portable enough for you to carry around. And it also has a carrying case and a built-in reading stand as well. So you get all of that with your package. It's a nice size, so you can take it down to the shops or whatever, but you can also set it on a desktop if you want to read a book or whatever as well. It has two different cameras built into it. So it has two 21 megapixel cameras, and those are for, you can view documents up close, and you also have a distance viewing camera as well. So if you want to zoom in on an image or a scene or something that's at a distance, I don't know, trying to think of scenarios, but if you were at the bus stop, I don't know if you did have it in your bag, you were carrying it around, took it out, you want to read something that's coming towards you, you could do that with your distance viewing camera.
I know some people have like bird tables in their gardens and sometimes use these devices for watching the birds feeding.
Yes, exactly. So that would be lovely, wouldn't it? Especially in these summer months when you're likely to get more birds and things around. So yeah, definitely. And the other thing, I mean, yeah, you can do your reading and writing and so on with it, but it also gives you the ability on the Explore 12 to really zoom in and freeze an image as well in place. So you don't have to move. So if you're reading a book, you don't have to move that book to be able to zoom in and view something up close and to get a closer look at the text. So you can freeze frame that image and you can zoom in and pan in with the tools that are built into it as well. And you can store any images. So that's really handy as well. I suppose if you're using it in a more of a formal setting like a classroom, it can store up to 1,000 images as well, and they can be transferred over to a computer. So if you want to have them for a later date.
How do we work out at RNIB what's the right sort of magnifier to offer customers? Because I know that there are so many out there, aren't there? I'm always bewildered by the wide range of magnification devices that are on show when we go to various exhibitions. So this Explore 12, I mean, there's a ton of features there, as you explained. How did we arrive at the Explore 12 as being the one that we think customers are going to find really helpful?
Yeah, it's a good question, because the market is really saturated. There are so many magnifiers out there, right? And you look even on our shop, and there's lots. And ideally, at the moment, I think, you know, we haven't got enough information, but I'd like to pull together a guide to be able to give people an instant snapshot of what each product does. The reason why we added the Humanware Explore 12 is that there's a couple of reasons for that. Humanware do very good quality products, and we know that other products that they sell, their CCTVs, etc., have got exactly that, a ton of features, lots of things that it can do, lots of unique things that you can point to, like, you know, the two different cameras, the freeze framing, and also, you know, the carrying case to carry wherever you want to go. Your reading stand is also included. They're not additional extras, you know, they're included with your package. And I just think it also has things like, you know, you can change your colour contrast on it. So really, the reason why we added it is because of the different features that it has that stands out above what's out there and what other standard CCTVs are out there.
So let's go to our tactile product then. And this is a sort of a modern spin on an old favourite and something slightly lower tech.
Yeah, so this is our new Versa paperless braille frame. And actually, I don't mind saying I was really excited when I saw this and came across it, and I thought we've got to have that in the range. And you know, while we've sort of moved away, I suppose in the UK we don't use braille frames as much as other countries do still, I think it's a really good innovation and something we don't often see nowadays with braille frames. So essentially it is a portable braille frame. It has 80 cells. It has 20 cells and four lines on it, the one we've got in the shop. And it works in the same ways as most, so you sort of do from right to left, you know, the same ways that most braille frames work. It comes with your magnetic stylus that sticks on the side of it, so it's easy to find. And it's erasable, so you can make your notes on it. So it's just something short, you just want to make a note of it, but you don't necessarily want tons of paper lying around. A shopping list, for example, you go to the shop, you don't want to keep a shopping list forever, right? So you can make a little shopping list, and then with a click of the buttons which are built into the device, you can just erase that text and start again. So I think it's really, really nice for that feature alone. You know, the paperless is the way to go, isn't it? You know, we're trying to move towards a world where we have less waste and less paper.
Brilliant. And 80 cells is a really kind of useful amount. You could, you know, pop down a telephone number or somebody's name or email address. You know, if your batteries have died, it's a great backup. And of course, that's going to work if you are a braille reader in an environment where audio might be difficult to hear, maybe for somebody who has a hearing impairment as well as a visual impairment. So lots of use cases, I think, for the Versa Slate as well. Well, fantastic, Claire. So that's the Accord USB audio player that is wireless, comes with a wireless charger. We've got the Explore 12 portable magnifier there for near and distance viewing, and the Versa Slate. Have you got anything in the pipeline, Claire? Are you able to tease us with anything new that's just around the corner?
Oh, we've got quite a few things coming through. We're going to be adding things like, because we haven't had a lot of Daisy players, especially portable ones, in the range for a while. So another one is the Victor Stream 3, which is going to be launching as well very, very soon. And also the book. The Sense Player, which is from Sight and Sound also. It might sound familiar to those who use the Book Sense, which I almost said there. So it is a HIMSS device. Again, another portable one that's just around the corner. In terms of our Braille Slate that we were just talking about, actually, I've also just added some accessories for that. So it comes, you know, at the moment just your stylus and your slate, but actually there's going to be an attachment which allows you to make paper notes. So it will just clip onto the back of it, you put your paper on, and you can actually make short notes as well. So those things will be coming very, very soon.
Fantastic. Well, Claire Maxwell from RNIB's retail products team, thank you so much for joining us. And of course, if anybody wants any more information about the Accord Player, the Explore 12 or the Versa Slate, you can, of course, pop on the website or give us a call. Do you want to just share those details for anybody who wants to learn more or maybe even check out the all accessible instructions?
So you can go to our shop and have a little look. We do have a section on there which is new products, and that's rnib.org.uk/shop. And you can also on there sign up to our new products guide. So our new product guide goes out in July, so it'd be coming out, I think it's released on the 28th of June from memory, and that's all of the products that I've just mentioned and a few that I haven't. So you'll get a little look at what's coming. And then there's another version coming out in September, October, which has got all of our Christmas things. So definitely worth a look.
And if you want to speak to a human person, of course, you can ring the helpline as well.
Of course you can. Yeah, you can ring our helpline and they'll assist you with anything as well on 0303 123 9999.
That's 0303 123 9999. Claire Maxwell from RNIB's retail products team, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Over the last few weeks, we've been talking quite a lot about travel, and particularly public transport, and how easy is it to book your assistance when you're going on trains, getting your assistance to, you know, meet you at the station, help you between your connections, all that. Well, there is a nice, easy app to do this, and Hubert Pavalkovic is along now to talk us through the Passenger Assistance app.
When travelling on a train as a blind or partially sighted passenger, one of the key points is passenger assistance. The ability of staff members assisting blind and partially sighted customers at the train station, helping them to get onto the train and then change trains or exit the station safely. Now, the main part before this assistance can take place is, of course, booking it. And until a few years ago, this could only be done using the phone, which could sometimes take quite a bit of time if the assistance booking was quite complex. 2 years ago, though, the Passenger Assistance app was launched and has since made the whole process simpler. And today, we will show you how to book passenger assistance on the iPhone using the VoiceOver screen reader. So, first of all, we will get into the Passenger Assistance app, which I have
app switcher,
opened already.
Voice memos, act, music, active, passenger assistance.
There we go.
Passenger assistance, new journey, heading.
So we are at the new journey heading, so it is ready for us to book a journey. And we will book a very regular journey for me.
Change theme, button. Hello, Hubert. Where would you like to go? Show rail stations info, but from Bedford, button.
So that's correctly chosen.
Delete departure station, but switch destinations, but to London St. Pancras International, button.
Go.
Delete arrival station, via slash avoid,
you
button.
Can select that if you wish.
One way, selected, button.
Now, it's currently selected as a one-way journey. We want to go for a return journey also.
Return, unselected, button.
So I'll double tap on this.
Return, selected. Outbound, leave after, today, now, button.
Here is the outbound time.
Outbound, today, picker item.
Now
adjustable.
We are going to select the date we want to go. So I will swipe up.
Friday, 16 June.
There we go.
16 o'clock,
now,
selected, picker item.
We will
adjustable.
Adjust the
16
time.
16 of 24.
Because we are looking to travel quite early.
15 o'clock, 13 o'clock. 12 o'clock, 11 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 08 o'clock, 07 o'clock, 06 o'clock, so, 6 of 24.
These are the hours.
33 minutes, 32 minutes.
Now,
30,
let's pick the minutes.
30,
I want to travel
40 minutes, 41 minutes, 42, 40 minutes,
after 6,
41 20. Of 60. Friday, arrive, leave after. Done,
so,
button.
Swipe to left to the done button.
Outbound, leave after. Friday, 16 June, 6:40, BST, button, return, leave after. Friday, 16 June, 8:40, BST, button.
So that selects it automatically, we will change it.
Insertion point at end, Friday, 16 June, pick, 08 o'clock, selected, pick.
So we need to change the time.
07 o'clock. 09 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 13 o'clock, 14, 15 o'clock, 16 o'clock, 17 o'clock.
We'll be travelling after 5 o'clock.
40 minutes, selected, pick.
I'd want to travel a few minutes before that.
37 minutes, 36 minutes, 35 minutes, 34 minutes, 35 of 60, selected.
Let's go for that.
17, Friday,
swipe,
arrive by,
swipe to the left,
leave after, select, done. Button.
Until we get to the done button, that's selected.
Return, leave after. Friday, 16 June, 17, 34.
So that's selected.
Connection time, none.
Now, this is a good feature where if you want longer to change between trains, you can possibly select that and see if they can find you a train journey that matches that, which is quite handy if you prefer to have more time and you don't want to rush. That's quite a good feature.
Find trains, button.
Here we go.
Find
trains.
From Bedford to London St. Pancras International. Head.
So now we will swipe to the right and see what journeys it gives us.
Show earlier button. Friday, 16 June 2023. Heading. Departing from Bedford at 6:40 BST. Arriving at London St Pancras International at 7:24.
I'll silence the speech. We want to travel. We want to arrive a bit later than that. So go to the next journey.
Departing from Bedford at 6:48 BST. Arriving at London St Pancras International at 7:49 BST.
We want that, so I will double tap on this one.
From Bedford to London St Pancras International. Heading.
And
Friday, 16 June 2023. Heading.
You can now check the details of this journey.
Departing from Bedford at 6:48 BST. Arriving at London St Pancras International at 7:49 BST. Journey duration 1 hour, 1 minute. Direct. Operator. Thames Link. Planned works foldable button. London St Pancras in planned works foldable button.
Now this one will allow you to get to the website of the stations if there are planned building works or engineering works going on. It can be quite useful, but it's something you don't always need to worry about because you will be contacted if the works will affect your journey.
London St Pancras International, 6:48, 7:49. Journey leg, train service. Leg duration, 1 hour, 1 minute. Expand calling stations.
You can look at the stations.
Select train button.
We want to select this train since we're fine with it.
From London St Pancras International to Bedford, heading.
Let's have a look at the return journey now.
Show earlier, but Friday, 16 June to departing from London St Pancras International at 17:36 BST, arriving at Bedford at 18:36 BST.
I'm happy with this journey, so I will double tap on that.
From London St Pancras International to Bedford, heading.
Now we can go through the same information as we did on the previous screen. If we swipe right through various elements, we will hear the same information just for this particular train. So I will swipe quickly through to the right until I hear the select train button.
Friday 6th, departing from planned works foldable, London St Pancras, 17:18:30, journey leg, leg duration, expand calling stick, select train button.
Okay, double tap.
Use of ramp, unselected.
Now here is the more important part where you can select the various bits of assistance you may need. So use a ramp, for example. I don't need that, so I'll swipe past that to the right.
Room for assistance dog, unselected.
Swipe right.
Help finding seat, selected.
Now help finding seat is already selected. It does remember your preferences, so if you select them once, you only will have to change them if the assistance you require changes for whatever reason.
Help transferring trains, selected. Seat transfer, if available, unselected. Use of station buggy, if available, unselected. Use of station wheelchair, if available, unselected. Help pushing wheelchair, unselected. Help with the luggage, unselected. Sighted guidance, selected.
Now naturally I have selected this one because I will require sighted guidance.
Request wheelchair space, unselected. Request priority seat, unselected. Reserve companion seat, unselected.
Now, if you are traveling with a companion, for example, a fellow vision impaired companion, you can also tick that.
Decrease the number of companions. Button. Increase the number of companions. Zero companions. Luggage information. Do you have luggage? Yes. Unselected. But no. Selected. Button.
So you can choose that. I've selected no luggage.
Other info. Optional. Number of characters, 0 out of 500. Please add any additional information here, such as ticket reservation info, class, coach and seat. Any requests for seat and wheelchair reservations not guaranteed, scooter sizes, or any other assistance requests, text field.
So for example, if you've got a seat reservation, this will be quite useful, or any additional notes that you feel your assistants may need to know, this is very useful to put in information. For example, if you want to be met somewhere particular, you can always put that in and see if hopefully a member of staff will meet you where you wish to be met.
Save button.
We click save, or double tap on that.
Outbound.
Now here is where you can look through your journey and make sure you're happy with your booking by swiping right through the screen until you hear the confirm details button.
Friday, 16 June 2023. Head departing from Bedford at 6:48 BST. Arriving at London St Pancras International at 7:49 BST. Journey duration. Planned works foldable. Button. London St Pancras International. 6:48. 7. Journey leg. Leg duration.
So all this information we have seen before.
Expand calling stations. Double tap to edit journey assistance and luggage information from Bedford to station. London St Pancras International. Current journey assistance. Help finding seat. Help transferring trains. Sighted guidance. Current journey luggage information. None.
So it will summarize each assistance need for you, which is quite handy.
Return.
And you will have the same information for the return journey, which we will swipe through quickly to the right.
Friday 16, departing from planned works for London St. 17, 18, journey leg, leg duration, expand calling, double tap to edit, confirm details, button.
This is the button we need. You can also
cancel, button.
Cancel if you wish, but we're going to swipe to the left.
Confirm details, button.
And confirm details. We'll double tap on that, and we are hoping to get a confirmation dialogue.
Confirm details. Request sent.
Okay, swipe to the right.
Your booking has been submitted. You will receive an update when the request has been acted on by the relevant station. Okay, button. My journeys.
So I've double tapped on the OK button, and that is as simple as booking assistance is on the passenger assistance app. So hopefully you have found that useful. If you are planning to use the app, feel free to contact us and let us know what you thought of it and maybe what additional things you would like to be able to do on the app as well.
If you have a technology question, why not ask the Tech Talk team? Email now, techtalk@rnib.org.uk or tweet at RNIB Radio using the hashtag AskTechTalk.
You're listening to RNIB Connect Radio. Now, you may remember last week on the programme, we were joined by Steve Tyler. He's back. Hello. Welcome back in, Steve.
Hello.
Now, you had a very interesting listening test for us about voices. Do you want to just kind of explain for anyone who didn't hear last week what happened?
We have been working with some new synthetic speech capability. And I suppose our hope is that we can create the best synthetic speech we can possibly deliver. It's got lots of uses, particularly for people that are losing their ability to speak or have voice issues, or indeed want to deliver more materials in more realistic voices and multiple languages. So we've been looking for the next chapter in the development of synthetic speech. We believe we've found it. And what we did was set you all a challenge. We had a recording, a person called George Kersher, myself and Richard Orme and a number of others have been working in this area for some time. And we've put together a couple of tests to see what you all make of them. And this first one was to see whether you could identify which was the real recording of George and which was the synthetic version of George. One of them is a recording he made. The other one was a version that we made his synthetic voice read the text.
Clip A.
Sonnet 116. Let me not to the marriage of true minds admit impediments. Love is not love which alters when it alteration finds, or bends with the remover to remove.
Clip B.
Sonnet 116. Let me not to the marriage of true minds admit impediments. Love is not love which alters when it alteration finds, or bends with the remover to remove.
And thank you to everybody who wrote in to techtalk@rnib.org.uk. We really appreciate that. We are now about to reveal the answer. We played you two clips, clip A and clip B. It was a lovely sonnet by William Shakespeare. And Steve, you can now reveal which one was real George and which one was AI George.
Clip A was real George. Clip B was AI George.
And well done if you got that right, and well done if you didn't, because it is really in your perspective, isn't it? It's there aren't any hard and fast rules where this is concerned. You don't have to feel foolish or anything like that if you didn't get it. In a way, it's a compliment to the technology. But we have noticed a bit of a trend, Steve.
Well, I think those people who are used to synthetic speech, especially blind or visually impaired people who use it a lot, have an understanding of what synthetic speech can traditionally offer. And quite often, I think we're on the lookout as regular users. You know, we know what these things are capable of, what they sound like. And I suppose we're quite critical and we can spot differences normally in synthetic speech versus real human voice, however good it is. Sighted people who perhaps are not as exposed to synthetic speech or never really have to think about this stuff very much and don't really mind one way or the other how it was delivered. They're listening to the information, but they're not really doing any of that analysis in the way we would normally do it as visually impaired people. And we're beginning to notice that there's a difference in what both groups think. So visually impaired people appear to be better at identifying the real voice versus a synthetic voice. In other words, most sighted people that we've tested against think that version A, the very first item, is synthetic. They think the synthetic version is actually real George.
Well, there we are. Steve Tyler, thank you for bringing this to us on Tech Talk. Not a rigorous scientific experiment, but very, very interesting nonetheless. And we will certainly be watching this space or listening to this space with great interest. Steve Tyler, Director of Technology from Leonard Cheshire. Thanks very much.
Cheers.
So we've had an email from Kelly Muggeridge, who has written to techtalk@rnib.org.uk talking about navigation and was very interested in our demonstration of NaviLens and also WeWalk. Now, it sounds like Kelly's favourite device is the Victor Reader Trek, along with Aira, which of course is the remote video assistance service, the visual interpreter, the professional service, and of course the free Soundscape app, which is no more, but as we heard earlier, could well be back in the form of OpenScape. Kelly writes that you found the Stellar Trek a little bit more complicated and you were quite happy with being my eyes and seeing AI, but you used to love the old Trekker Breeze, which has been discontinued. You may remember we asked, have you got any technology that's kind of no longer around that you miss? So somebody missing the Trekker Breeze. How about you guys, Callum and Hubert? Any technology that you're lamenting the demise of?
Well, I mean, it was going to be Soundscape for me, but OpenScape could be bringing that back. I remember the Trekker Breeze, though. That was a great device.
I mean, that takes me back. I remember when I used to be looking into it like about 12 years ago or so. It was back then. It was the big deal.
Yeah, it was. I remember I was at school at the time and I remember someone brought it in to demonstrate. And I mean, that was it. I just wanted one straight away then, as soon as I got that. Because obviously back then, that was the best you could get, really, in terms of being able to get directions independently and, you know, more kind of blind friendly directions as well.
It's sort of like when I had the other flashback device you've asked for me. It's my, I think it was a, his HIMS BookSense T50 that I used to have, which was the closest thing I've had to an entertainment device before I got my iPad, which I had music on it, voice recorder and audiobooks. Back then, again, it was beautiful because it was the best thing I had at the time. It's fantastic.
Well, thanks very much, Kelly, for getting in touch and let us know what technology you're using for getting out and about and also what technology you are missing. Now, we've also heard from Will Richards, who is talking about Final Cut on the iPad. And Will says, from a partially sighted perspective, actually, the larger screen of a MacBook might be preferable, as would a touchpad or even a mouse. So, guys, I know you're both screen reader users, obviously not looking at this so much from a low vision perspective, but what sort of audio production software do you use, recommend, like, find challenging or otherwise?
For me, I've always loved GarageBand. But lately I've just found that to be, it just feels like it's been a little bit neglected in terms of accessibility. You know, there's a lot of voiceover feedback that used to work and now it doesn't. And this is on the Mac. I don't really use the iPad, but I've finally started to explore Reaper and absolutely loving that. But of course that is Mac or Windows only. I think it's interesting. It's getting it closer to this thing of, could an iPad replace a laptop or a computer? But I think for me, it's just doing something as precise as audio production. I think it's, I don't know, maybe it's a bit of an old habits kind of thing, but I feel like you just need that physical keyboard. It feels like I'm in so much more control of it, of what I'm doing.
Mm. I mean, I think the thing sometimes from a low vision perspective I hear is that sometimes it's the position of the screen, not necessarily the size of the screen, that can be the important factor. And that's why the iPad and some of the larger iPhones are popular with people who are partially sighted. But I'd be interested to hear thoughts around that. Hubert, you've got a bit of a background in podcasting. What's your poison when it comes to editing audio?
I'm going to have to agree with Callum. To me, I love audio editing on a computer with a proper keyboard, because it's, you want to fine tune your audio. And on a touch screen, you can connect a Bluetooth keyboard and get hopefully a similar experience. But realistically, you want to be able to fine tune it. And on a computer, you can't really get anything better than that. I don't mind recording on an external device like an iPad or a phone, but the fine tune editing always has to be done for me on a computer. And you know, you can either use something like Audacity on the Windows computer, which is free. Reaper is also an excellent piece of software. If you're a Mac user, a left field suggestion, try using WavePad if you're doing basic audio editing. It's surprising how much you can actually do on it.
There you go. So a few suggestions there from the guys. Let us know. Do you edit audio, or do you give it to somebody else to edit? TechTalk@rnib.org.uk. Good to hear from you, Will and Kelly. Thank you to Callum and Hubert. You're listening to RNIB Connect Radio. I've come to Wolverhampton, specifically Wolverhampton Bus Station, that has the UK's first full-scale trial of NaviLens as a navigation aid to support blind and partially sighted people navigating around Wolverhampton Bus Station. And someone who has been trialling this technology and is hopefully going to share some feedback is Louise Connop from the West Midlands Sight Loss Council. I hope I've got that right, Louise. Welcome to RNIB Connect Radio. Now, first and foremost, we should say you are somebody with lived experience.
Absolutely.
Yep. So I've arrived today with my cane as well, and I've been walking around enjoying the tactile paving, which is particularly helpful, guides us to the various entry and exit points. But just talk, if you will, a little bit about your interest. What brought you to this project?
So I work for Thomas Pocklington Trust, and part of that role is to support and work with our sight loss councils. So the local sight loss councils here are Birmingham, Black Country and Worcestershire. And we work really closely with lots of transport providers on ways to improve accessibility, but also enable us as visually impaired and blind people to travel independently. So we've been trialling a few different apps across different locations, and this is the first, as you say, as of its kind to launch at Wolverhampton bus station. So it's something really exciting for us to be able to hopefully be more independent within travel within the region.
We'll come to the trial in a second. Can you just tell me, what's it been like trying to kind of open those doors to those transport providers, getting them round the table, making sure that they're really listening and paying attention to our needs as blind and partially sighted people? What's that journey been like?
Challenging would probably be the best word to describe it. But I do think that, you know, we have worked with the Sight Loss Councils, Transport for West Midlands and the Combined Authority over the last 3 years, and do really believe that we're in a really good place with the organisations now and the local authorities, that we're starting to see a lot of movement in the inclusion and accessibility of our transport network. Just recently, West Midlands Combined Authority launched a commitment to become the exemplar region for disabled people. So I think it sits into a lot of the work that we do to encourage people to get out there and to use all of the resources that are on offer to us. But we're unable to do a lot of things with accessible venues or goods and services that are provided if the transport links aren't there. So we can have a really accessible building that offers great customer service, but if the transport links aren't there for us to independently and safely get from point A to point B, it makes it extremely challenging. So I do feel like the transport providers and operators locally are really starting to see us as a really beneficial person to have sat round that table and involved in those meetings. So yes, it's been challenging, but I do believe that we are starting to see a lot of our hard work paying off.
And so important for a multitude of reasons, as you say, not least of which is access to education, to employment. Mm-hmm. Our community often struggles with unemployment, and yep, some of the reasons for that might be transport related. But also, right now, really timely, because of course in August we've got the IBSA Blind, yes, Games taking place in Birmingham.
We do, absolutely we do. And we're working across different sites and sectors, from the University of Birmingham to the Combined Authority and Transport for West Midlands, to ensure that people can navigate independently to the different sites that the Games are hosting. You know, we've got locations within Wolverhampton, Birmingham and Coventry, which are all covered by our Combined Authority here. And as part of that work that we're doing with Sight Loss Councils is to have a legacy of the IBSA Games, in just the same way that we have the legacy from the recent Commonwealth Games last summer. So yeah, I think good things are to come for accessible transport in the region, and we will continue to work with our operators and providers to ensure that that's moving in the right direction.
And for anyone unfamiliar with the Sight Loss Councils, this really is the authentic voice of blind and partially sighted people, right?
Oh, 100%. So all of our Sight Loss Council members are fantastic volunteers. They all have lived experience and bring something different to the table. We do interview process to ensure that we have a great diverse group of people, so that we, you know, we have Sight Loss Council members that have dual sensory loss. We have Sight Loss Council members that may have additional needs, that are wheelchair users, so that we can concentrate on ensuring that when we are consulting with people like the transport providers, or feeding back on accessibility of certain apps or websites and so on and so forth, that it's a mix of people, not just one specific area of our sector. So we couldn't do the work that we do without our Sight Loss Council members, and like, we've had five or six of them here today, all with different needs, all with different levels of tech skills, mine probably being the lowest, but it just ensures that when we're feeding back and working on projects, that there's a wide range of availability to give the best scope.
So let's talk about the technology then.
Yes.
NaviLens, listeners may be familiar with the idea that NaviLens is a next generation QR code, mm-hmm, available on some product packaging. Kellogg's in particular seemed to lead the charge there,
yes,
when it came to putting NaviLens codes on their packaging, so that if you have the app, you can scan the code and you can find out about the ingredients and and all of that. So just sort of explain how NaviLens works in the context of a bus station.
Absolutely. So I would say to start with that, as I alluded to a little bit earlier, I'm not the most technical skilled person that there is out there. And if I can do something, it's relatively basic. So downloading of the app was pretty simple. When you come into the bus station, you don't need to be able to see the codes.
You've got the app on your phone. Are you a voiceover user then, Louise?
I'm not, no.
So you're using magnifier?
Yeah, so I use magnification. Yeah. I am a white cane user. Mm-hmm. I'm registered severely sight impaired, but I have enough useful vision to be able to take advantage of the large print that is in the app. So you don't need to be able to see the codes that NaviLens is scanning. As long as you've got your phone open with the app, it will pick it up automatically. We're very lucky in the bus station that we're in that the tactile route is very well mapped out with like a grey tactile dent all the way around the bus station, which is also what NaviLens then uses to ensure that you're being directed in the correct way. The thing that I really love about the app is that even though I have some useful vision, I don't have enough vision to ever be able to read the timetables or the real-time information, so I can't access that without something like NaviLens. And it was the first time that I've ever been able to access information real-time without having to ask somebody else for assistance. I didn't need to know where the code was. I didn't need to be able to see where it was positioned on the board. It just picked it up and read it out to me automatically, which I just think is wonderful.
You mentioned that about half a dozen Sight Loss Council members have also been here testing NaviLens at Wolverhampton bus station today. Mm-hmm. Just share a little bit about their feedback, because you said there was a range of abilities there.
Absolutely. So a few of the members don't have any sight at all. We have varying guide dog users to cane users to partially sighted people that don't use any mobility aids. And I think the feedback from those who don't have enough useful vision to be able to see was that they can access both navigation and real-time information in a way that they never could before. They didn't need any assistance. They can decide whether they want to go to a stand or they want to use the toilets or they want to go and collect a parcel from the Amazon locker. It will tell them where to get out of the train station, so in the direction of the train. Sorry.
That's all right.
The bus station, sorry. In the direction of the train station or in the direction of the metro for onward travel. That was for one of our members in particular who has never been able to travel independently. He said, actually, if this was linked with further ongoing travel from that, not just in the bus station that we're in, that he feels he would be able to do some of those routes independently for the first time since losing his sight. Another one of our members who's partially sighted, he's quite familiar with the train, the bus station, knows which platform and which stop that he needed to go to, but again has never been able to access the real-time information, so he could go and figure out what time the next bus to any location here, not only the bus that he's used to getting. So it opens up so many more local towns for him to go and visit, because he doesn't have to rely on knowing exactly what it is, when it's going to come, and you know when the next bus back is. So I think if this was to be rolled out across lots of other bus stops, bus stations, trams, and you know other transport networks, it could be so beneficial to opening up lots of other different places for us to go and explore.
Mm. Because it's a hub, of course, as you say, there are links to trains, to trams, to other forms of transport. It's a huge bus station, really. Can you just sort of speak to the sort of security and kind of safety element? I know one or two blind and partially sighted people have expressed the concern, well, if I'm walking along with my phone out, you know, and I'm scanning codes in the environment, does that potentially put me at risk? Could somebody snatch my phone? Have you got any thoughts around that?
I would say, so there are, you know, we've tested lots of different apps and done lots of work on trying to figure out the best routes and solutions. I think the positive that I would say that NaviLens has is, unlike generic QR codes, you don't have to hold your phone in a particular way. You don't have to make sure that it's directly above one of the codes. Like, you can just hold it as if you were, you know, just walking around generally. I at no point have felt unsafe because I've got my phone out, because it would just be like if I was holding my phone getting ready to call someone or getting ready to text someone. I've not got to hold it at a certain degree or a certain angle or get really close to one of the codes. So I think I understand people's maybe wariness of feeling a little unsafe, but I think that, look, there's always going to be something that you can't mitigate.
That's true.
And the positive that comes out of the app, I think, outweighs that potential.
Yes. Yeah, I always say there's a risk in not doing as well.
Absolutely.
You know.
Yeah.
And I guess that message would also be true for those who are perhaps a little bit reluctant to even get a smartphone in the first place. Mm-hmm. You mentioned not being especially tech savvy yourself, but you're using magnification, you're using a smartphone, you were able to download an app. There are people, though, you will be aware, there are people for whom just doing those things actually represents a challenge.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, it isn't the solution to everything. There are still going to be people that don't want to or can't use technology. And as long as it's not replacing something, you know, there are still going to be staff on the ground that you can ask for assistance. There's still the option, if people prefer, to travel with a companion. It's just giving and opening up the world to a whole host of people who do choose, who want to be able to take that technology route. But we have to ensure as a sector that that's not replacing the old version of how people would want to interact and travel.
Absolutely. This augments those core mobility skills. You need to keep your ears free to access the people and the environment around you at all times, obviously, to stay safe. It's about your cane skills, your dog skills, mm-hmm. any residual vision that you might have. And then hopefully your technology will complement that. Well, thank you so much, Louise. Really appreciate you coming on to RNIB Connect Radio and sharing your thoughts. What are the next steps as far as you're concerned?
I think we're going to continue to work with our combined authority, Transport for West Midlands, as well, to try and roll this out so it's not just a singular hub that we can move on forward travel from here and still have that assistance of knowing that we can independently travel. We're working with the IBSA World Games for the launch of that in the summer. And we will continue to work as a sector with our partners to ensure that our communities are aware of what is and isn't around, how we can and we can't work with certain goods and service providers to raise awareness, raise our profile.
Excellent. Louise Connop, thank you so much for joining us here on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you for having me.
And that's it. That brings us to the end of another Tech Talk from RNIB Connect Radio. Thank you so much for your company. And thank you to Hubert and Callum for being with us. Do tune in next week when we'll be bringing you coverage of the Inclusive Design for Sustainability Conference taking place in Glasgow. So lots of exciting developments and fascinating people to speak with then. So that's all coming next time. But from us right now, now it's time to say goodbye. So thanks, Hubert.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. I'll see you soon.
And thank you, Callum.
Thanks very much. See you next week.
Cheers, both. And from me, Dave Williams, and the rest of the team, bye for now.